We'll begin with a prayer. Holy Spirit, we ask that you guide us now as we meditate upon another precious, precious section of the Word which you've given us for the salvation of our souls. We pray that you open the treasures which are hidden in it to us as only you can do, and that you strengthen our faith in our Savior as we grow in grace and knowledge of Him. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So Acts chapter 7, verses 23 to 29, Moses flees into Midian. The text here is mysterious. And there's a treasure that is hidden for us, if only we can have eyes that can see and ears that can hear. So we've got to be guided by the Holy Spirit in order to receive and find this hidden treasure. In Acts chapter 7, verse 22, which we looked at last week, and we've got to remember this verse as we look at the text that we're looking at. It's Acts 7, verse 22, and it reads this way: "And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and was mighty in words and in deeds." And now we find Moses fleeing for his life, leaving Egypt and hiding out in Midian. This is a shocking turn of events. If ever there was an example of going from riches into rags, this would be it. And it all happened so quickly. There are some mysteries here. We're going to read through the text in its completeness and then offer a few thoughts and some important lessons for us who are living in the last days of earth history. "And when he was full 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. And seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended him and avenged him that was oppressed and smote the Egyptian. For he supposed his brethren would have understood how that God by his hand would deliver them. But they understood not. And the next day he showed himself unto them as they strove, and would have set them at one again, saying, Sirs, ye are brethren, why do ye wrong one to another? But he that did his neighbor wrong thrust him away, saying, Who made thee a ruler and a judge over us? Wilt thou kill me as thou didst kill the Egyptian yesterday? Then Moses fled at this saying, and was a stranger in the land of Midian, where he begat two sons." It's amazing how a person can fall so quickly. And we learn when we look back at this account in the Old Testament that before Moses killed the Egyptians, he looked to and fro, back and forth, to make sure nobody saw what he was doing. And then he killed the Egyptian and buried him in the sand. Well, one guy knew it, and that's the one that the Egyptian was beating. But somehow or other, others found out about this the very next day. And this is why Moses had to flee. It was imperative that he get out of there as fast as he could, or he'd be killed by Pharaoh. His true colors, that he was with his people instead of the Egyptians, had finally come out. But there are some mysteries here. And right now, before we start to get into this, I want you to remember the verse right before this text and contrast it with the last verse of the text. So Acts 7:22, "And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in words and in deeds." And the last verse of our text, verse 29, "Then fled Moses at this saying, and was a stranger in the land of Midian, where he begat two sons." What is the connection? Remember the context. Stephen is giving his answer to the false accusations that were leveled against him, and he's giving it before the VIPs and the Jewish people. Remember that. That's really important. And so, in verse 23, Stephen says this, "When he, Moses, was full 40 years old, it came into his part to visit his brethren, the children of Israel." The number 40. Numbers in Scripture are very, very important, always. And the Holy Spirit uses them in different ways than we do. That's important to remember this. We all know the importance of numbers in Scripture. And sometimes they are literal numbers, very often they are, but they also have spiritual meanings. Other times, like in Revelation, they are not literal numbers, but the spiritual meanings are coming forth. But here, the number 40 is used over and over and over again in Scripture. It is a number of testing. What do we mean by that? A few examples. The giant Goliath challenged the children of Israel for 40 days. And these 40 days were a number of testing, not only for Goliath, but also for the children of Israel. If the implication is clear that if Goliath had been able to stand for one more day, the Philistines would have won the battle. But on the 40th day, there was a shepherd boy there named David who heard the challenge and answered it. The shepherd boy came out on the 40th day that Goliath came with a sling and 5 smooth stones. He only used one this time, but Goliath had 4 brothers, so there was one for each of them also. But it happened on the 40th day. Another well-known example, Jesus was tempted by the devil for 40 days and 40 nights. And this was the big battle. Had nothing to eat, nothing to drink, out with the wild animals for 40 days and 40 nights. And the first test was, if you really are the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. Jesus withstood all 3 temptations. And this was the time of testing for him. It was also a time of testing for the devil. The battle was won by the Son of God right here. And it happened right after he was baptized And the voice came from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, hear ye him." And then the dove, the Holy Spirit in the form of a dove, landed on Jesus and abode on him. This is one of the rare occasions in Scripture where the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are seen together. And it was a time of testing for Jesus as a human being, and it was a time of testing for the devil. Jesus won, the devil lost. So here the Holy Spirit, through Stephen, tells us that Moses was full 40 years old when it came into his heart to visit his brethren, which was very true. But there's something more here, and it's hidden. During the week, I checked out the account back in Exodus chapter 2. And I found something very interesting. When we check out this event, we find that in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit does not mention that Moses was 40 years old when all this took place. In his own words, Exodus 2 verse 11, "And it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown that he went out unto his brethren and looked at their burdens, and he spied an Egyptian smiting an Hebrew, one of his brethren." So we really can't help but ask the question, why doesn't the Holy Spirit mention the number 40 back in Exodus chapter 2, verse 11? But he does mention the 40 years old in Acts chapter 7, verse 23. And that's odd. And there's a truth here. And the truth is this. Sometimes the Holy Spirit teaches us as much by what he doesn't say as by what he does say. And so here we look at Moses. We have already mentioned that Moses spent the early years of his life before he was weaned with his mother and his father. And as we read the account in the Old Testament, it is very clear that his mother and father knew that when he was born, when Moses was born, he was precious in the sight of God. And we've looked at that already. It is also true that they were guided by God to understand that this little baby that they brought forth under extremely dangerous conditions, any baby boy that was born according to the command of Pharaoh was to be drowned in the Nile River. And out of an act of faith, they had a little son. But they hid him for 3 months. And it seems like Pharaoh sent soldiers to examine homes and get in there and find out that this command was being followed every 3 months. And when the time came for this family to be visited by Pharaoh's army, you might say, his mother made an ark of bulrushes. The word ark there is the same one that's used in the description of Moses, Noah building the ark, the same word. The ark's the type of Jesus, as this one was. And the mother took him down to the Nile River, which is the last place in the world she would have done, except God told her to, and laid him in the bulrushes in the river. And so then you know the rest of the story. The daughter of Pharaoh, the very man who claimed the child should be killed, came down there, saw the ark, sent one of her servants to get it. She opened the ark and looked, and there was a baby there. And the babe wept. And that touched her heart. So then Miriam, the sister of Moses, came down and told the daughter of Pharaoh, "I'll find a mother, I'll find a woman that will nurse him, the child, for you." And Pharaoh's daughter agreed to that, so Miriam brought him back to his mother. So Moses, and you know this, Moses was with his mother and father for the first years of his life until he was weaned, which could have been 4 or 5 years. And after that was brought to Pharaoh's daughter, he was raised right under her father's nose, and he didn't know it, was raised in all the wisdom of the Egyptians. Remember that. Egypt is a symbol of the world. Okay. So, what went wrong here? That all of a sudden, Moses, who was the most powerful man under Pharaoh in all Egypt, had to flee for his life. What went wrong? Well, the number 40. Moses is an amazing example of how the Holy Spirit uses this number 40. The life of Moses was divided into three sections. 40 years he was in Egypt. 40 more years he was in Midian, shepherding the sheep. And 40 more years, he was in the wilderness leading the children of Israel. So you've got three 40s in the life of Moses. And the Holy Spirit deliberately does not mention the first 40 back in the book of Exodus. Why? And there's an answer for this. 40 is a time of testing. Moses was not being tested at the end of the first 40 years of his life. He was not. Well, why does Stephen mention that Moses was 40 years old when all this took place down there? And the answer is that it wasn't Moses that was being tested. It was the children of Israel that were being tested, and they failed. And that's why Moses had to flee. And remember, Stephen is talking here to the VIPs and people of the children of Israel. They are being tested right now, and they're going to fail. That's the point. So we look back now. What does this have to say for us, living in the final days of Earth history as we know it, as the Earth is winding down very quickly to a destruction by fire? What does this say about it? Moses was not being tested by God at the end of the first 40-year period. His testing came at the end of the second 40-year period when he saw the burning bush. And God commanded him to go back to Egypt and lead the people out, and Moses said, "No, you're late. 40 years ago I could have done it, now I cannot." But God's timing was during the end of the second 40 years. There's a lesson for us here. It mentions back in the book of Exodus that Moses was learned in all the knowledge of the Egyptians. And the Egyptians are the people of the world. And Moses knew his way of getting around in the world. And he thought that he could, with his power and his knowledge, he thought he could go and lead the children of Israel out of Egypt, which his mother and father had told him about God saying that. But you notice back in Exodus, Moses didn't question or ask God for guidance about this. He just did it on his own. And the timing was wrong. The timing was wrong. And we're at the time that Moses figured, I can do this, he wasn't qualified to do it yet. He's not going to be qualified to do it just because he knows the ways of the world. He's got to be qualified to do it when he's a family man, was married, and raised children, and followed a flock of sheep for 40 years. Then he was ready. And God only knows there's a lesson for us here. In our day and age, the marching words of the visible church are numbers and money. And very, very often it happens that these churches are being run with business-like tactics. One man came right out and said it. The church is a business and it should be run like one. And so a lot of times in the church councils you have laymen who are members there that have been very successful in business. And if you're going to start a business and you're going to be successful, you're going to have to have people coming and buying your product. Numbers. And you're going to spend some money to bring them in order you can make money. That's the ways of the world. And that was what Moses brought into. I can do this. I'm learned in all the ways of the Egyptians. I know what I'm doing. I know how to do this. God said, you're not ready. If you think that because you're wise in the ways of the world, that you can be a good person in the church, you've got it all wrong. You're going to have to live in the family. And that's why the Holy Spirit mentions this in the last verse of our text. That's why. The last thing it mentions about him is that he was married and had two sons. Then Moses fled at this saying and was a stranger in the land of Midian, where he begat two sons. So for 40 years, he's a husband and a father. And he learned more about the kingdom of God during those 40 years in the family and out in the wilderness with the sheep than he did in all the wisdom of the Egyptians. That's the point. But it's hidden, and it has to be revealed by the Holy Spirit. So we look at examples in Scripture of what we're talking about. And there are examples all over the place. The Apostle Paul wrote many of the epistles in the New Testament. And Paul had a physical problem. He calls it a thorn in the flesh. And he never mentions what it was. It could be that he couldn't speak well. It could be. Or it couldn't be. It could be that he didn't see very well. We really don't know. But he thought that if God would take away this thorn in the flesh, he could be a lot better apostle at it. and that if God would take away this thorn out of the flesh, he would be able to be a better, bring more people into the church and save more souls. That's what Paul thought. So three times he prayed to God to take this thorn away so I can better serve you in your kingdom. And God said, no. My grace is sufficient for thee. In other words, I can work with you more when you've got the thorn in the flesh as I could if you didn't have it. The point is, do it God's way, and he's going to make it work for you. It's not what we do that counts. Any farmer knows that. You can do it all right, plant the right seed, plow the field, do everything right. And if God withholds the rain, you don't get a crop. And the farmer has no control over that. He does what he can, but that's not going to work if God doesn't bless it. So what did Moses have to learn during the second 40-year period of his life? He had to learn what it means to live as a child of God in the most difficult place in which to do it, the home. That's what he had to learn. One of the most difficult things in the world is raising children. Who is sufficient for this? And the importance of it. But it's God that does it. And the importance of prayer. I've mentioned this before, but it fits so well here, I'm going to mention it again. There was a pastor one time that was giving a paper at a conference. And when the paper was over, he opened it up for comments or questions from those that were in the audience. And there was a pastor in the audience that walked up to the microphone and started arguing with the guy that gave the paper. And they argued back and forth, and the guy that gave the paper finally said, I want to ask you one question. Are you married? And the guy said, no. And the reply to him was, sit down. You don't know what you're talking about. There's some truth there. You learn more about Scripture and interpreting of it in the home. And this is the most difficult place to live your life. One of the guys one time that we know mentioned that he didn't have any sin. Well, the answer to that is ask your wife about it. Let's ask his wife. She'll tell you. So the point being, God puts us where he wants us, and he will give us the power to do what he wants us to do, even though physically speaking, it's impossible for us. So when God gives you something to do, he will also give you the ability to do it. And example number one would be Moses. At the time that he thought he was fully prepared to do this, he wasn't. He had to go into the home, and he had to follow a flock of sheep for 40 years. And then he was ready, but he didn't feel that he was. Okay, so he supposed, Moses, that his brethren would have understood how that God by his hand would direct them, but they understood not. And Stephen is talking to people here who are questioning what he's preaching and teaching, and they're going to kill him. And they are descendants of the ones who rejected Moses back in Egypt. That's the point. That's why the 40-year thing is mentioned. These people are being tested, and they fail miserably. The Son of God said about Moses that God was going to send a prophet like unto Moses, and unto him shall ye hearken. And Jesus also was rejected by his own people very, very quickly. He lived on this earth for 33 years. The first 30 years, with some exceptions right at the beginning when he had to be born in Bethlehem, Ephratah, and be taken down into Egypt and then moved back to Nazareth. So that was those little few years were an exception. But the rest of the 30 years he spent being a carpenter in the city of Nazareth. And everybody knew who he was. And he wasn't anybody special. So then at the age of 30, he started to preach his first sermon at Nazareth. He opened the book of Isaiah, where it foretold the coming of the Messiah. And he said to the congregation, "This day, right now, is this scripture fulfilled in your ears? I am the promised Messiah that the people have been waiting for 4,000 years. What did they do? Did they stand up and say, "Hallelujah, praise God"? No, they didn't. They said, "Who does this guy think he is? We know who he is. He lived with us for 40 years. All he was is a carpenter. He was nobody special. Who does he think he is?" And they took him to that brow of the hill in back of the city, and they were going to throw him out to his death. That happened right away. This is not surprising. Jesus is a prophet like unto Moses. And as soon as Moses revealed himself to his people, they rejected him, and he had to flee. So then he was a stranger in Midian. And those 40 years were the most blessed years of his life. And for years he thought that all of his life had been wasted, because mom and dad told me that I was the one God was going to use to flee, to turn the people of Israel out of the land of slavery and bring them to the promised land, and it didn't work. Well, it hadn't worked yet. But then came the burning bush, and Moses learned a lesson. What a change in his life.